and finish this up. But the water, the Spirit, is the Spirit that's in us. And the water is representative by our baptism. Baptism, water baptism, is a picture of what God has done. And He's given us a record here in the earth that depicts what He has done spiritually. He lived, He died, and He rose again from the dead. And according to the Scriptures, we who are under the curse have died to the old man, to the sin that's in the body. And we have risen in newness of life, like as when we are baptized in the water and come out, emerged in the water and come out. And so then He's left a record. There's a record in heaven, and as a witness here in the earth, the Spirit that's in us, the water of baptism that represents the water of cleansing of the Holy Spirit in our souls, that sanctifying power that the Holy Ghost has accomplished, the water, which is a cleansing element, is an emblem of that. And then the blood, the wine, is an emblem of the blood that by which we are justified before God. And He says, this is my blood. Take ye and drink of it. And as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And beloved, we are His witnesses. The church that He set up are His witnesses. We are to remember Him, His broken body, and His shed blood, which by which we are saved eternally. And we have as a record in heaven and as a witness here in the earth. May God spare His dear people to continue the witness for Him here at the church at Reedsville.
We got plenty of time. You don't have to quit. Go ahead. Just take your time. The Lord has given you.
Certainly enjoyed Brother Draper. I don't get to be with him very much, but I enjoy hearing the good news anywhere that I'm at. The Scripture has been on my mind somewhat this morning. I might read just a little, and Brother Draper just preached it probably better than I could. If I preached it, I know he has. Fifth chapter of the Romans, and you know they talk about the primitive Baptists. If they didn't have the book of Romans, they wouldn't have anything to preach. But all the books of the Bible are equal as far as I'm concerned. God put them in there for a purpose. And I believe, and Brother Draper believes the same thing, and I'm satisfied you do, that this word is the inspired word of God, that He inspired men to pin it down. The fifth chapter, therefore being justified by faith. The brother was preaching on faith. We understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he went on, he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know of anything that's any more precious to you, to me, or to anyone that's ever been troubled by the condemnation, as the brother's already preached to you, their sins, is that peace that only God can give. John Newton said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." You begin to talk to somebody about the grace of God, and if the Holy Ghost has never dealt with them, and they've never had the workings of grace in their heart, they don't know what you're talking about. But that poor wayfaring pilgrim that's cried to that Savior, "Lord, have mercy on me," and He revealed to them that He was their Lord, their Master, your Lord, my Lord, and our Savior. They have a peace that the world don't know anything about. Therefore, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Brother Draper was going all around that. You know, the world teaches that all you got to do is give your hand to the preacher and your hand to the Lord, and you've got access to this. But this Bible teaches that nobody can come unto the Father except by Jesus. And he went on, he said, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You begin to talk about hope to the natural world, and they think you're crazy. But I'm glad of one thing. The old writer of old wrote when he carried his son up to offer him up for the offering there. He said, Father, we've got the fire. We've got the wood. He knew under the law there had to be a blood sacrifice, as the brothers already preached to you. But where is the offering? And I believe the Bible will substantiate in that old servant by an eye of faith. Here comes that faith again, the evidence of things hoped for. I believe that old servant was enabled by the divine delivering power of Almighty God to look down through the channels of time and see that God would. He said, God will prepare himself an offering. And I believe he was enabled to see that God was going to prepare himself an offering. I believe he is able to see Jesus. You might differ with me, but I believe he is enabled to see the one that God did prepare. As the brothers already preached to you, the only one that was pure and was holy and acceptable to Jehovah God, and the one that God did in his infinite wisdom in the embers of time did. And I left to get back the world. Don't like to get back any farther than man's authority, but I left to, if it pleases Almighty God, to get so far back that man wasn't even there, because my Bible teaches me that in the beginning God did choose a people to be with him in heaven and immortal glory. And are not you glad that he was such a wise God that he did know all things from the beginning to the end? And therefore being justified by faith. And what does justify means? Brother Draper has already told you that it means to be cleared and set free. I used to be with the highway patrol. We could catch a man out here and he was just 100% guilty of something and carry him to court, and the lawyer get up there and just twist around the facts and make it sound like that he was an angel, hadn't done anything, but the evidence was still there. But they could smooth it over. But I want to tell you one today, the great judge, the judge of all judges, has the facts, and he had the facts there, and he knew just what there's going to be when Adam transgressed the laws there and plunged us all under the guilt of sin and condemnation. God didn't make him do it, but God in his wisdom and infinite knowledge knew that he would, because he'd already prepared the remedy in his son Jesus, and give them to his son, and the son loved you with such a love that he's willing to come, as the brothers already preached, to die for you, to remove you, to redeem you, and to redeem something, it had to already be his. Are not you glad that Jehovah God did choose a people that would be with him in heaven and immortal glory? And the world tries to teach and tries to imply that there's no need for anyone going to hell. But I read in the book of Revelations that there was some that wasn't in the book, and that they and we'll go back now to where that the Lord loved you with such a love. Look over there in the book where the great Samaritan is a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus, the great Samaritan, that the first thing that he did, he didn't do as a priest and he didn't do as a Levite, pass on either side there. If you'll just examine just a little bit,
They didn't do the man any good at all, did they? But now we find the great Samaritan, which is a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus. That great Samaritan, the first thing that he done, he looked and he had compassion on him. And what is compassion? His feeling, his concern. And are not you glad this morning that you can look heavenward and say, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you looked through the embers of time and had compassion on my sin-sick soul, and that you not only as that great Samaritan had compassion on him, but he came to where he was. Praise God today, the blessed Lamb of God that left the shining coats of heaven and immortal glory came to this earth for a cause. And what was that cause? That he might give, as our brothers already preached to you, that complete atonement, the only one that was holy and acceptable to God the Father, to redeem you from under the laws of sin and condemnation, and then give you that blessed hope. And when he works that miracle of grace in your heart and removes the scales from your eyes and enables you to see God's perfect plan of salvation, God's plan of salvation is a perfect plan, and not only is it perfect, but he enables his inhabitants. When the scales, as John Newton said, I once was blind, but now I see. Can you not rejoice today that it pleased your Lord and Master, your God and your Father, which is in heaven, to remove the scales from your eyes and enable you to see the need of a loving Savior, and not only enable you to see the need of a loving Savior, but be enabled to be instilled in your heart, that he might write his laws in your heart and place them in your mind, that you might look towards the one, as our brother's talking about, that hung on Calvary's cross between heaven and earth, for what? That he might suffer, and that he might give a complete atonement to the great I Am, that he might redeem you from under the bondage of sin and guilt. And even in the dying hours there on the cross of Calvary, we find him doing this. The Bible teaches, and I don't have time to get into that, but the Bible teaches that there was two male factors being crucified. And as our brothers already told you, according to the custom, they'd break the legs. And they tell me that when they broke the legs, as our brother's talking about, it caused such a painful being that the internal bodies, as he's already touched on it, begin to sweat and cause more fluids to gather around the lungs and smother them to death quickly. But nevertheless, when they got there, these two, there was one that began to rail him and began to guess about that thing. The world, they're guessing about much. The things our great scientist is guessing about, how this great universe was built. Well, all they got to do is read the book that God inspired men to write. It said, in the beginning, God spoke, and these things come about. He created everything, and when he created it, he saw that it was good, and it had to be good, because everything God has done has been good. And I'm so glad that his plan of salvation has been so good that it'll save every heir of promise. His name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone that is called, and here we'll go just a little further. They talk about over there, they talk about that he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. I believe that there will be a people in heaven and immortal glory in the image of his Son, because I find that Jesus there, when he hung there, and that man on the left side said, if thou be the Christ, come down and save us. What was he talking about? That man had heard of him, but he didn't know of him, did he? Because he said, if you be the Christ. That man hadn't seen the miracles of God. That man hadn't seen this man that touched the lame man. That man hadn't seen this God, this Jesus that spoke to Lazarus over there and said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus come forth. That man hadn't seen that woman that had faith, had spent everything that she had, and didn't know what else to do, but she had faith. What give her that faith? I believe the Holy Spirit of Almighty God give her faith, revealed to her that this was the one that could heal her, the same one that give you faith to cry on him, Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, hell-deserving sinner, and she had faith that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. And then when she did, we hear the Lord himself saying that somebody touched me. And they begin to question, Lord, all this great multitude, how do we know who touched you? He said, somebody touched me. And he gave a reason why that he said that. He said, for I have felt virtue go out. And we find that man that was hanging on the left side, he didn't see him feed the great multitudes. But he said, if thou be the king, come down and save us. But then the one on the other side said, don't rail him, because we received our just rewards. Where would you be today? Where would I be today if we received our just rewards? We certainly wouldn't be here where we are today. But are not you glad? Then the Bible says, then he called him Jesus. He called him Lord. And he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, what revealed it to that man? The same source, the delivering spirit of Almighty God's wisdom revealed it to him, just like it did to you and to me, that it was his Lord and his master. And he said, Lord, and he didn't stop there either, just calling him Lord. But he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And you can't find where the works of that man had to come into the picture at all, because Jesus told him this, this day, not tomorrow, or not maybe, or if you do this, you could. But he said, this day, thou shalt dwell with me in paradise. And I believe when that man's spirit left his body that day, that it went back to the presence of Almighty God. There is the spirits of the saints of God down through the times have resting and abiding. And when he said then that I don't have time to get into that, but hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Are you ashamed of your Lord and your Master that loves you with such everlasting love that he died for you on Calvary's cross? And even then he looked heavenward and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. He wasn't just talking about those Roman soldiers over there, but he's talking about everyone that he was dying for. And when that he yielded up the ghost, before he yielded up the ghost, he said, it is finished. What's finished? Father, I've done everything that you command me to do. I've come down here. I've walked the shores of time. And now I'm giving my life for them, that I might redeem them, and that I might present them back without spot and without blemish before thee. And then he yielded up the ghost, and then he was placed in a tomb. Didn't have a tomb of his own, and he didn't need it very long either, did he? He said, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And they thought he was talking about that magnificent temple that it took hundreds of years to build. But he's placed in that tomb. And somebody had read and somebody had heard him say, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And we hear the old king telling them to place guards there. And I'm glad it's worded like it is. Make it as sure as you can. But they couldn't make it sure enough to handle the power of Almighty God. Because when he laid there, he came out of the tomb. He gave us evidence, as the brothers already preached to you. It's my belief. He gave us evidence beyond the grave. He sweetened the grave. Many of our loved ones now resting, their spirits basking in the presence of Almighty God, their body molting back to the mother dust from whence it cometh. But there's coming a day. He said, if I go away, I'll come again. And what's he coming for? He's not coming as much as the world is proclamating to set up a kingdom. He set that kingdom up 2,000 years ago when he set up the church on this earth. He's coming back for his bride, that glittering bride that he died for. And they talk about the storms that we had here a few days ago. They haven't seen anything. When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and people, they're trying to come up with a certain time. They've been trying it for years when Jesus is coming back. But this Bible tells me that even the Lord don't know, just God the Father. But anyway, I believe this. When the last hour of promise, his name is written
in the Lamb's Book of Life, looks heavenward and says, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus is going to look over to God the Father. Father, that's the last one I died for. And then he's going to say something else, I believe, too. He's going to say, let's bring them home. And as in the book of Revelations, he's going to come back with 10,000 of his angels. And that gable angel blow that trumpet, place one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And those that's been sleeping be resurrected. This body put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. You can't, your natural mind can't comprehend that. But I'm glad of one thing. You're going to receive a crown of eternal life. And what heaven means, you'll see Moses, you'll see Abraham, you'll see Isaac and Jacob. But what I want to see is that Lord Jesus had died on Calvary's cross and set me free. May God bless you in our prayer. Come on.
Yeah, Brother Johnny sure preached the gospel that I believe, and he's fed me, and I'm thankful for it. We'll disperse here for about an hour and have lunch. The sisters and friends of the church has brought out lunch, and then when you hear singing, we'll assemble together again here for to observe the Lord's Supper. We possibly some that will not stay for that, so we'll dismiss as we usually do. But we'll want to publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. I was thinking as Brother Johnny was preaching so sweetly there that it's about 1990 that I came to this church for the first time and met you brethren and sisters. And I was thinking what a wonderful witness and fellowship we found together as we came. You were all new to me at that time, and yet we just seemed like we just fit together, just like we'd known each other all of our life, where we began to talk about the goodness and the mercy of God and what he'd done for our poor sin-sick soul. And it's been a sweet place for me for these almost 7 years now. And I hope it'll be for 7 more and 70 more if the Lord tarries. And if there's one or more here today that has a witness in their bosom that God loved them and put their sins away when he suffered on their behalf, and you'd love to publicly say so by being baptized into his church, well, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. Let's sing a few verses of Amazing Grace, and we'll strike the glad hands of fellowship, and the doors of the church are published open for the reception of members.
We just like to say we appreciate everyone that's come out to be with us today. And Brother W. was invited to take part in this service, and it's our responsibility as the church to see that he don't come and go at your own expense.
Thank you, Brother.
Hymn
169. What page is it on?
69.
Sing when you're ready.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Sonny Piles has promised to be with them on Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night, and Sunday morning. It's Church at Park View. And the other Bear Creek Fifth Sunday meeting is down in Albemarle. That's a place of Rooney Church. Is it more? Do you have an announcement up here?
I can't remember. I heard him give them out. They've been extended.
I'd like to remind folks that the same Elon
Saturday before the fifth Sunday, singing it at the Hermit Baptist Library in Elon College, just outside of town of Elon College. All hearts and minds satisfied, and that's what we're trying to do. We're business.
I have a thought to thank you this day to give us the privilege to have me together this morning. This is the precious word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the blessing we've received from time to time. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful.